This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our websites. It is cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. We want to title this sermon, we'll entitle it, The Coming Economic Tribulation. And it's going to come. You know, it's like when I gave the sermon when I resigned in Worldwide in 79. I don't take any credit for the sermon other than the fact that I spoke it and asked God to inspire me with what I should speak. And He inspired me to say that unless there was repentance in Pasadena, the forces would be set in motion which would tear the church asunder. Now that was 25 years ago. And I said later that the Worldwide Church of God will probably be just a footnote in history. And it is almost a footnote in history. The only thing that keeps it from being a footnote in history is that there are some websites which have all of Herbert Armstrong's writings on it. Which are very good for basic understanding. And what we need to realize this concerning the Church of God is that always remember this. The people of God, as well as Israel and the world, always get corrected first. That's just the way it is. You read that in the Bible, you know, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. So God has corrected His church, continues to do so. But for those who are faithful, He is going to help them to feed the brethren. God can raise up, you know, people from stones if necessary, but He doesn't do that because He's in the business of calling those He's going to call. So how things will go down the road in the future, we'll just have to wait and see. But what is imminent on the horizon right now is economic tribulation. And it is going to come. Now you stop and think about it. In the three areas of life in the world where there should be truth and trust. Number one, religion. Number two, politics. And number three, economics. But instead of truth and trust, what do we have? We have lies and deceit. And in economics, as well as religion, politics, where can you say that the lies are not multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied over and over and over again? See, because we are living at the end of the age, and so we are seeing the fullness of all of these things coming together. And so they are going to come together. Now, we know this. Here, let's go to Revelation 12 and verse 9. We all know it. We've all memorized it. Well, let's go ahead and read it into the record. Because this is the only way that you're going to understand what's going on in the world and how it's going to work out, because it's going to work out according to God's plan. But unless you believe God and love God, you're not going to understand His plan. See, a lot of people say, well, why doesn't God tell us what He's going to do? Well, why don't you believe Him first? Then maybe you'll find out what He's going to do. See? Now, Would you tell a secret to someone whom you couldn't trust? No. So God is not going to tell the secret of His plan to those who don't trust Him either. Okay? Very simple. So one of the most fundamental points we need to understand today is this, Revelation 12 and verse 9. That great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving the whole world. And we can say, through religion, through government, and through economics. Now that's a present tense participle in the Greek, meaning actively ongoing. And the thing that is so incredible is that Satan can hold out things to people where it sounds absolutely wonderful. It's like he did to Adam and Eve. Oh, you will be as gods. That means in the flesh you'll be as God is in the spirit, which is not correct, see. That'll never happen. So, likewise, he is done with economics. And we're going to see that the greatest sleight of hand that has occurred in economics is the system we have today. And it's all setting itself up for the coming mark of the beast. So, you get the tape that I did on the mark of the beast, and you go over that with this one. Now let's come to John, the 8th chapter. John 8, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Now let's understand something here. Let's understand something very important. How are we going to know the truth, and what... Like I said some time ago, someone will surely come and say, what gives you the right to be right? You know, because everybody today has opinions, and everybody's opinion to them is truth, and it's right, so what makes you think you're right? It's just your opinion. Okay, there's a key. How do you get past opinions? Now, in some things, we do have to have opinions, and we do have to think so we can see how the truth will unfold. But everything that we do, our thinking must always be grounded in the truth of God. And in the things that we don't know or don't understand, we acknowledge and say we don't know and we don't understand. And sooner or later, God will give us the understanding at the right time. Now, here's the key. John 8, verse 31. Therefore, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him. Now, there are a lot of people who believe in Jesus. Now, this is going to be very interesting as we go down and see how this is done, you see. How deeply do you believe in Jesus? Because you could do a survey on the street, you know. Go out on the Sabbath day. Do a survey on the street. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Of course I do. That's why I'm celebrating Christmas. See? To believe in the Bible means believe unto full trust and obedience unto God, as we have covered there in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Now notice what he says. If. See? So we can take this little survey we're doing on the street, and you can say, if you believe that you are a Christian, why do you not keep the Sabbath? Yeah, buts all come along, don't they? Okay. So here it is. If you continue in my word. That's quite a thing. Now, word here means the entire message, the whole teachings of Jesus. That's what it means. You are truly my disciples. Now you take it the opposite way. If you do not continue in my word, that is the whole message, and he was the one who was the God of the Old Testament before he was manifested in the flesh. If you don't continue in his word, then you are truly not his disciples, regardless of what you profess. So this becomes very important. Now then they said, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So here is the key to knowing the truth. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth. So the opposite is, if you do not continue in my word, you will not know the truth. And we can gauge it in degrees. There are some people who believe him in degrees of completeness. And in the degree that you believe, you have a degree of understanding. That's why in the book that I'm going to recommend to you, The New Economic Disorder by Larry Bates, he has some understanding of the Word of God. And to the degree he understands it, he shows what's going to happen according to the times that we live in and the things that are in the Bible. So we're going to expand on that today. Now then they said here, we are Abraham's seed and have never been in bondage to anyone. What do you mean by saying you shall become free? And he answered them saying, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a servant of sin. So there it is. Very clear. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is a transgression of the law. God made it simple to define. And if you truly understand that, you're well on the way to understanding the Word of God. And you see, the thing is, if you're a servant to sin, then you're a servant to Satan the devil, aren't you? So when you get down to it, since Satan is deceiving the whole world except those that have the Spirit of God, there are two forms of servants in the world. Servants of Satan and the true servants of God. That's it. Now within those two categories, you have some of those who have a greater knowledge of the truth who are servants of Satan, and they practice Sunday keeping, so they are practicing sin. But they have a degree of understanding, but still deceived. Then within the Church of God, you have those who have their degrees of lack of understanding, as found there in Revelation 2 and 3, through the wrong kind of church structure, through the doctrine of Balaam, through eating things sacrificed to idols, and through allowing the doctrine of the scribes and Pharisees to Judaize them. And nevertheless, they're still the people of God. God calls them his people, but calls them to repentance. So there you have the two camps of servants. Now let's come down here to verse 41. We don't want to take away too much time from what we're going to cover here. Down to verse 41. You are doing the works of your father. Then they said to him, we have not been born of fornication. You see, now here's Satan's tactic always. The first one he always does is this. If you can't refute the message, what do? Attack the messenger. Yes. How do you attack him? Accuse him. Now, he has something to say about messenger, which we'll read here a little later on. But here's the process right there. We have one Father, and that is God. Oh, really? Therefore, Jesus said to them, If God were your Father, you would love me, because I proceeded forth and came from God, for I have not come of myself, but he sent me. Why don't you understand my speech? Because you cannot bear to hear my words. Now, if you want a nice little study, go through and read all the places, He that has an ear, let him hear. Now, there's a message in there. You better listen to what God says. Now notice verse 44. Of those who claim they believed in Him. See, because what He was saying here, you believe in me, but you haven't repented of your sins. You believe in me because it's a benefit to you, and yet you haven't changed your ways. That's the whole point of what He's saying here, you see. If you keep His word, you'll understand the truth. If you practice sin, you're a servant of sin. So if you want to believe in Jesus, you have to stop being a servant of sin. And if you don't stop being a servant of sin, then, verse 44, because Satan deceives the whole world, right? Yes. You are of your father the devil, the lust of your father's your father you desire to practice. And he gives benefits. Yes, he does. There is pleasure in sin for a season. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he is speaking from his own self, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. So then he said, Which one of you can convict me of sin? But if I speak the truth, why don't you believe me? Here's the key, verse 47. The one who is of God hears the words of God. That means hears and obeys. Okay? For this reason, you do not hear because you are not of God. So Jesus really laid it on the line here, didn't he? Yes, indeed. Now, you can find in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, during the temptation of Jesus, what did the devil tell him? He said, If you will worship me, I will give you all the nations of the world and the glory of them. If you will worship me. So those who worship Satan, the devil, do have some benefits, don't they? See? But Jesus also said, What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Now then, let me read from page 59 from this book. Let me tell you where you can order this book, The New Economic Disorder by Larry Bates. The New Economic Disorder by Larry Bates, and you can order it from the Charisma House, and here's the phone number, 407-333-0600. Now, when you get this book, you will find that it is the best and easiest read explaining the financial circumstances that we are in today. Now, Larry Bates used to be a banker. And he used to be a representative of the in Tennessee in the legislature. So he knows all about what he's talking about here. Now then, page 59, he says, When truth surfaces, the methods of dealing with the messengers of truth, when they conflict with the New World Order's purposes, Now, let's say when they conflict with anything that anyone believes. Okay, here. The message, number one, the messengers of truth are met with skepticism. Don't believe it. just like the Jews did not believe that the temple in Jerusalem and that whole system God was going to destroy. We can look back and say, yes, he did, didn't he? Okay. Number two, the messengers of truth are met with ridicule. Oh, like they said of Jesus. Where did this man learn letters? Where did you get your education? They don't evaluate it on the terms of truth. Number three, messengers of truth are met with hostility. Hey? Why? Because your truth has punctured their comfort zone. They don't like it. Hey? Number four, truth is accepted as fact when it manifests itself. See, but the question is, do you have to wait for the manifestation to take place first? Because what happens then? Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? They all slumbered and slept. The wise took with them oil in their vessels. That means an extra little container that had oil, because the little lamps that they had were small and you could hold them just in the palm of your hand. They had a little wick which would come out of the side, and you had to put the olive oil in to the little vessel, the little lamp, rather, in order to have the light continuously burning. So because the supply in the light was small, they kept a supply in a vessel to put in there. Now, there are many analogies we can learn from that. But what happened to the five who didn't believe like they should? When it came time for Christ to return, and it was manifest that the truth of his return was at hand, they went to those who had the oil in their vessels and said, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out." So likewise, with this coming economic tribulation that is coming, it is going to be something. And if you have a computer and you're online, let me suggest you go online and you look up Argentina and the economic crisis that it went through in this last decade. And especially the economic crisis that they went through about 3 years ago. And you will see what is going to happen in America. And I'm here to tell you, it is going to be bad, it is going to be ugly, it is going to be desperate, and it is going to be very hard to take. And I'll show you why a little later on. Now let me just say this. Let's come to the book of Ezekiel. We'll come to Ezekiel 28, but I want you to read Ezekiel 27 ahead of it. Because Ezekiel 27 tells you about the prophesied world trading combine that Satan is developing. That's what the World Trade Organization is all about. And you will see all the things listed there. It was really quite a thing. And it's talking about Tyrus, which was one of the leading economic trading centers in the Middle East at that particular time. But it is also a prophecy for today. Now, let's come over here to Ezekiel 28 and let's see the power behind the throne. Because what we have to understand is this. Every institution that Satan sets up, he is the power behind the throne. He is the one that makes it go. There are people today who know they openly worship Lucifer. And they know that they serve him. And they receive the benefits that was promised to them These are the rich in the world. These are the religious leaders, the political leaders, the economic leaders, the banking leaders, the corporate leaders of manufacturing companies and so forth. Now, they won't admit that they're worshiping Satan. They probably, a lot of them, don't even think that they are. But what kind of economic system are we in? Okay, let's pick it up here in verse 14. You are the anointed cherub that covers. That's before he fell. And I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Had direct access to God, didn't he? Yes, he did. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. Which shows that he had free choice. And this shows that why God has given us free choice. And God doesn't want us to give up our free choice. As a matter of fact, a lot of people, ministers preach that you have to give up your will. That's not true. God wants His will to become your will. He doesn't want you to give up your will, but He wants His will to become your will. That's why He writes His laws in your hearts and your mind, your inward part, and so forth. So that you can live your life according to the will of God. So, Lucifer sinned. By choice, he decided, I'm going to do thus and such. Now notice what he does to the nations. Now, I have also wondered with this verse, what was it that the angels did? What do they do? I mean, look at what mankind does, and angels are greater than mankind, are they not? Now, we won't fully understand this until we're in the kingdom of God, so we'll put this a little bit in the realm of speculation here. But nevertheless, here's how we sin. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. What do you mean, the multitude of your merchandise? Well, let's apply that to the world today. Do we have a multitude of merchandise and gadgets and things? Is the world filled with sin? Yes. Same thing. Therefore, I will cast you out as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will, it says destroy you, but it really means expel you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, because he said, well, I'll be like God. I will ascend into the heights. I will be over the stars of God, which are the angels. And you have corrupted your wisdom by the reason of your brightness. Now, we are going to see how in economics the wisdom has been corrupted. By the very nature of how the world economic system of money is set up today, is one of the most deceitful and corrupted things that has ever been devised. Now, let me just say this. God knows we have to live in Caesar's world today. So God allows us to use his economic system up to the final point of the mark of the beast. Because that takes away your free choice. But we'll see how corrupt it is. And how the banking system works. And I'll guarantee you this, by the time I get done with this, this sermon, you are never going to walk in your bank and think of your bank in the same way that you've thought of it in the past. Okay? And the day of reckoning is coming. So what I want to do with this sermon is to let you know that there are certain things that you can do, because we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, to minimize the economic collapse and its effects on you personally. You can't get away from it, because it's coming. But to minimize it. Verse 18. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your traffic. What do you mean, the iniquity of your traffic? Well, we will see that's the iniquity of the monetary system that we have today, which is worldwide. All nations have the same kind of economic system that we do here in America, regardless of what the currency is. Now, let's look at some of these things. See what it is here. Now, let me go to page 12. Do a little reading out of this, let you know what the situation is. Okay. Page 12. The worst kind of lie. Now, let me just state this. I want you to think about what you are going to do the day that this happens, and you go to your bank and they tell you we have no money to give you regardless of how much you think you have in it. And as he points out, FDIC is not to insure the depositor, as it is claimed. FDIC is to prevent a run on the bank because it gives people a false sense of confidence that I am insured. But no one has asked the question, what is the insurance? Okay. Worst kind of lie. I'm not writing this book to tell you that money manipulators have found the key to painless prosperity. It simply isn't true. I'm not going to claim that the massive deficits don't matter. And what has triggered the latest fall in the dollar this last 10 weeks? When the Congress voted to increase the deficit limit of the United States, one fell swoop of $800 billion. Dollars, the biggest single increase in the debt ceiling ever voted on by Congress. So they're all in it. I'm not going to claim that debt can be rolled over forever, that someone will always be found to buy our bonds, T-bills, and mortgages. I won't say it because it's a lie. A lie that's being foisted on us by government officials, central bankers, mainstream economists, and captive press, and unfortunately some misinformed pastors. It is a lie that's easy to sell because most people want to believe it. I hope you're not one of them. I hope you agree with Patrick Henry, one of my favorite founding fathers, who said, "It is natural for man to indulge in the illusions of hope. We are apt to shut our eyes against a painful truth and listen to the songs that siren till she transforms us into beasts." Is this the part of wise men engaged in a great and arduous struggle for liberty? Are we disposed to be among the number of those having eyes see not, having ears hear not, the things which so nearly concern our temporal salvation, that is, your physical existence in the world? For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I'm willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it. And that's what I'm trying to do here with this sermon. There is still time to rescue some of your assets before they disappear. Our economy is in serious trouble. You know it. I know it. But most people simply refuse to honestly face the facts. Therein lies their peril and their greatest profit opportunity in the past 60 years. Then he goes on here saying that we live in a fool's paradise. The debt bubble is about to burst. So, let's go back a little bit here. We seem to believe we found the secret that eluded the ancient alchemist. We believe that we can slap ink on paper and somehow turn it into gold. Now you think about, I'm going to ask you the question, how much money do you have? I'll answer the question a little bit later, but you write it down. How much money do you have? Okay. The money manipulators have successfully created the illusion of prosperity through the most massive creation of debt and paper money that has ever occurred in history. Now, I want you to think about the deceitfulness of Jacob. Remember how he didn't trust God to give him the birthright as was prophesied would be given to him? And even his mother was in on the scheme, right? Yes. I'll fix up some venison and you go to Isaac, your father, and pretend that you're Esau and you get the blessing. Okay? There's a deceitfulness in Jacob that's going to take him down. As well as a deceitfulness in all human beings, you see. That debt bubble is about to burst, and when it does, all those loanership, remember that word, investments your friends and maybe even you think are safe, CD, bonds, mutual funds, will be in deep, deep trouble. And that's just the tip of the iceberg that's about to ram us. See, if you're on a ship like the Titanic, and you see an iceberg ahead of you, you're only seeing the tip of the iceberg. Maybe one-tenth. The rest of it's underneath. Now then he says there's a whole series of catastrophes coming. There's a golden opportunity for each one. Maybe, maybe not. You'll have to see what you can do about it. But there are economic hurricanes coming, and I will just list them. Page 15, deadly juggernaut number one, the banking crisis. And we'll talk a little bit about the banking crisis here a little later. Okay? Number two, deadly juggernaut, page 16, federal debt and deficits. Now you see, if all of these meet at the same time, let's just say this. Remember in Florida this year, how many hurricanes came in there? Four of them. And remember the last one, Gene. And I think that is very illustrative of the coming economic catastrophe. Gene came up and looked like it was going to miss Florida entirely. Then it did a strange thing. It took a 300 and almost, not 300, but about a 270 degree turn, three quarters of 260, made a circle from going north, came around south, and came around, and then started east directly into Florida. Okay. Now, that's exactly how this is going to come. They're going to think, oh, it's not going to come, it's not going to come, it's not going to come, or we can do this to stave it off, it's not going to come, but it's going to come right back around, just like Hurricane Jean, because you add all of these up, okay? Page 17, deadly juggernaut number 3, business and personal debt. And with that, the biggest thing that's going to happen is a collapse in the housing market. That will come based upon an economic principle. What goes up must come down, especially if it's not based on truth, and it is not based on truth. Page 18, deadly juggernaut number 4, recession depression. And that's going to make 1929 look like child's play. Page 19, deadly juggernaut number 5, massive renewed inflation. And that's how they are going to try and solve the problem. Remember what happened to the Weimar Republic. They couldn't print and overprint the money fast enough to keep up with the inflation. And even a wheelbarrow full of marks could not even buy a loaf of bread. So then he says, get ready for the coming storm. Now, let's come over to page 26. I think we have to understand that life as we've noted in the United States is about to change, and it's about to change drastically. Why? Because of the times we are living in. Unfortunately, most of the apathy in our country is centered inside the institution that calls itself the church. Amazing, isn't it? I must say that the church simply cannot go on living in this blind, apathetic confidence of a never-ending American dream. This delusion of hope has kept us from discerning the times and indicators of the perilous times we're in, and most importantly, those perilous times that lie ahead. We are creatures of comfort, and as such have grown accustomed to our comfort zones. Every one of us. Let me just say this, with the cold weather we've been having recently, and the struggle to stay warm, it keeps coming back into my mind. How did those poor souls get along when they were herded into the freight cars to be sent off by the Nazis to the death camps, or be sent off by Stalin to the gulags in Siberia, which took 4 days by train in the middle of winter with no toilets and no heat, and all you had was the clothes on your back. And when I get cold, I think, oh, my legs are cold, or my back is cold, or my hands are cold, I think, how did these people survive? See, the cold has interfered with my comfort zone. See? So there are a lot of comfort zones that we have, don't we? Yes. Why don't you do this? List out all your comfort zones and all the good things that you have, that you enjoy, and then think about the fact that it may not be here one day. What am I going to do? See. Well, I know about this point people are saying, you know, you're a doom gloomer. See. Listen, if someone is headed toward the cliff, if someone doesn't tell them, stop, you're going to step over the end and kill yourself, then we haven't done what we're supposed to do. You read what God said to Ezekiel.
You've got to warn. If you don't warn, blood's going to be on your head. If you warn and they don't listen, blood's going to be on their head. So this is a warning. Straight out. And I hope whatever you can do, you can do. But let me tell you, whatever you do, you better do quickly. Let's fast forward this tape and turn it to the other side, please. Now let's pick it up where we left off on the other side. We are creatures of comfort, and of such have grown accustomed to our comfort zones. We will never be moved to anything unless our comfort zones are invaded. I can tell you that if you lack understanding and knowledge of the times, your comfort zones are about to be wrecked. Our standard of living, incredible compared to the rest of the world, and our ease of life have literally disconnected us from reality because we've all been deceived by the money system that is here. Just what is that reality? It may surprise some of you, but the reality is we are at war. There is a war that is raging right here on earth as well as a spiritual war that's being raged in the heavenlies. It is a war of world views. The kingdom of God is being viciously opposed by the kingdom of Satan. This war is real with very high stakes, the salvation of men, women, boys, and girls throughout the whole world. It's going to affect everything that there is. Now, let me just say this. You need to understand. Number one, you have to have faith and trust in God, as well as do some of the things that you know you can do. See? Now, remember this ad, I think it is Greenleaf Lending Tree, or thelendingtree.com. Here's this guy. He's a real nice looking guy. He's driving this new car. He belongs to the country club. He has this nice new house, and he's out there in the barbecue, and he turns over a hamburger, and he says, how do I do all of this? He says, I'm up to debt to my eyeballs, and I can barely make my interest payments. See? Now that is a reality of millions and millions and millions and millions of people. You see? Now, I'm going to follow this up with a sermon on tithing, because tithing is one of the disciplines that God has given us so that we learn to manage our money and not do foolish and stupid things. Yes, we have to use Caesar's money, as Jesus said. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to things to God the things that are God's. Okay. So we need to understand that we are not going to buy our way out of this. We are not going to make ourselves immune from it. We are not going to live fat and sassy in our homes while people are out on our corner with cups, you know, looking for pennies or nickels. Now, on page 37, he begins the signs of economic chaos and things that are coming. And he uses Isaiah 3 to go through it. So I'll let you analyze that, but I'll just summarize the signs. The first sign is economic chaos and shortages of basic necessities of life. Now, these are the signs of God's judgment. The second sign of God's hand of judgment upon a nation is a void in leadership and a very low quality of officials that govern us. And when we go just reading these, I just want you to think how many of these things are actually happening today. Third sign that we see as divine judgment upon a nation is children ruling over a nation. The fourth sign of judgment upon a nation is civil unrest and insurrection, which is coming. And I'll tell you this. When it happens here in California, Aztlán will become a reality. You know what Aztlán is? It is the movement among the Mexicans not spoken of, the reason why they have inundated California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, and southern Colorado is because that belongs to Mexico, and we stole it from them. So they are coming back in the form of workers and population. So when the time comes, they will take it back. You say, how could that happen? Well, let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Okay, if you don't believe me, go online and look up Aztlán, and you will be surprised what you will find on the Internet. See, it's Azit, A-Z-T-L-A-N-D, Aztlán. No D on the end. Aztlán. Okay. Okay, Deuteronomy 28. Let's go there. Prophesied to happen. It's going to come. Now, you read the Proverbs. The Proverbs say, the wise man sees the trouble coming ahead and avoids it. See. Now, you're not going to be taken out of the world. Now, here's what it says here. Verse 43. Deuteronomy 28. We've covered these things before, but I want to reiterate it here again. Because these are all the judgments. You can take the judgments that I'm reading here in the book that are based on Isaiah 3, and you can go through and expand it even more by looking in Deuteronomy 28. Verse 43, the stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. Do we have millions and millions of strangers in our midst? Yes, we do. California now has a Latino population that is the majority south of San Francisco. They may start out in the fields, but they will end up in the highest offices in the land. You shall come down very low. Now, how low is low? Doesn't tell us, but very low. He shall lend to you. You shall not lend to him. Now, 1980 was a turning point in American financial history. We were a creditor nation up to that point. That means that we had more money coming into America than we had going out to other countries. Now it's totally reversed. All of the debt is owned by strangers. If you have a mortgage on your home and a bank services it, don't be too surprised if that mortgage is not in bundles of thousands of other mortgages which are sold on the mortgage market, the discount secondary market for mortgages, and the title to those actually sit in Tokyo and Beijing and other countries of the world. Now, they want to be paid. This is true. Same thing with all of our debts. I'll read a little bit about this from some other news clipping. Okay? Now, at the same time, verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed because you hearken not unto the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and upon your seed forever, because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Because they forgot the main lesson, Deuteronomy 8. God gives the power to give wealth. And he tells you where wealth comes from. It comes from his creation. from the things that he has made, where you can have all of the produce, the animals, the manufactured goods thereof, to get oil, coal, iron, copper, brass, tin, gold, silver, platinum, titanium. All of these things God created. You throw in their precious jewels. God gave those. See. So we didn't serve God with gladness of heart for the abundance of all that he gave. Now, verse 52, we've read these before. Now, let's read it again. And he shall besiege you in all your gates and your high and your fenced walls. Now, we've got the anti-missile missile, don't we? You can't get it any higher in defense, can you, than that? Shall come down wherein you trusted throughout all your land, and he shall besiege you in all your gates throughout all your land, which the Lord your God gives you. And he talks about cannibalism. Now here in California, we've got the Donner Pass Party, right? How did they survive through one of the worst winters when they made the bad decision of trying to go up through Donner Pass? The strongest ate the weakest. Now, if you want a real lesson, you get Josephus and you read the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem in 70 A.D. And Josephus was an eyewitness. God gives it. Now, we'll cover some other things. There are many other scriptures we can add to it, but let's go on here. Let me finish. The fifth sign, he says, as an indicator of God's judgment upon a nation, will be the fact that things will get so bad that no one will want to be in charge. The sixth sign of God's judgment upon a nation is the fact that they allow godless humanist leaders to be in charge of a nation. In my opinion, the seventh sign of God's judgment is a nation upon a nation is the most glaring of the signs present in the United States and among the world today, homosexuality. The eighth sign, I believe, he says, is allowing women to rule over a nation and permitting deceit and deception to run rampant at the highest levels of our government. True. That was on page 38, 39, and 40. Just to give you an example, what has happened to the British Empire since Queen Elizabeth has been ruling for 40 years, or better, 50 years, whatever, over 50? The absolute decline of the British Empire, right? What has happened to England? And it's happened because they've forsaken the Word of God. The place where the English Bible began with William Tyndale is now the pit of Satanism and witchcraft and deception and a people that have been captive into socialism and have lost an empire, have lost their wealth, have lost their ability. Now, I could also say a lot about America because it's headed the same way, but we'll save that for another time. Page 47. Page 47. Again, there is a war of world views going on. Satan doesn't want what's really going on behind the scenes to be understood. Another aspect of Satan's plan, down the page a little bit, of containment is complacency, satisfaction with the present condition. He wants you to believe you're doing the best you can do and that there is nothing else greater that you can do financially or otherwise. I must repeat once again that this war we're in is not a spectator sport. Victory cannot be won without a fight. That has to do with overcoming Satan. He thinks we can overcome the economic situation. We can only get it in a situation where we can survive reasonably well. That's most what can be expected here. Page 48. Organized religion is probably Satan's most effective tool of containment. The word religion comes from the Greek word religio, which means to return to bondage. What did I do? Nine sermons on why God hates religion. And when I gave that, there were some people offended. See? Listen, ask yourself this question. What am I not willing to give up for God? See, we all have to come to God, don't we? That's why, brethren, very important for us to understand, as I've said before, that my whole goal in teaching and preaching is to teach you the truth so you can have a direct relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, so you can believe in them. I'm just a man, subject to all the pulls of the flesh unless I grow and change and repent and overcome, just like you. But if given the job of being a teacher of God's Word, I better teach the truth. And I better make sure that it is the truth. And I better make sure that likewise there's not one thing that I have that I hold back from God. Remember what he said to the rich man. Go sell all that you have. See, he wasn't willing to give up the deceitfulness of riches. Remember the warning in 1 Timothy 6 about the deceitfulness of riches, and the money is a root of all evil. Not the only one, but a root. See? So here it is. Religion is simply man's attempt to reach God with his own rules and regulations. In other words, if you want to join my religious group, you must follow all my rules and regulations and be submitted to the religious order, then you are accepted. Very clearly stated, isn't it? You know, like Jesus told the scribe who answered correctly about loving God. And the scribe said, if you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, that's more than all burnt offerings. And what did Jesus say? He said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. So likewise, when you read this book, you will see he is not far from the kingdom of God. All right, now let's come to page 130. He also states in the book, you'll find out, there is the legislative, there is the executive, and there's the judiciary branch, but the most important one who really rules and governs this nation is the Federal Reserve. And as Rothschild said, you give me control of money, and I don't care who runs the politics. He also shows how the Federal Reserve Act came into being. Very simply put, very good, very good. Now, page 130, last paragraph. in the event that there should be a run on the banks, the Federal Reserve requested, lobbied for, and was successful in getting passed the Monetary Control Act of 1980. A provision of that act allows the Federal Reserve to reduce its reserve requirements to zero. Now then, he explains about money. Most books about the Federal Reserve get so complicated and have such a long history that people get lost and they give up reading it. This one gives a simple, direct, forward explanation which you can understand. If you have any paper money, go ahead and get it out. Because what I want you to understand is this. Your paper money is only a psychological device. What do I mean by that? How can it be psychological if I hold it in my hand? The value that you place on it and other people accept as the value is the psychology behind it. And that is the only backing there is to it. This is total fiat money. In other words, it's your faith in the government. Now, most people don't realize it, that there are two United States. One is the United States that was founded by the forefathers. The other one was the one that was done, I think it was in the 30s at the time of FDR. They formed the Corporation of the United States so they could legally borrow.
1938.
38. Okay. Now, when it says the full faith and credit of the United States, that means that all the debt that we have owed has been hawked and guaranteed, first of all, by all of our national parks. And all the assets in America. Now, you see this? I've got a $20 bill. Let me read what it says. This note doesn't say this currency. This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. It is an IOU. Now, how much is this $20 bill worth? In terms of 1940 dollars. It's worth 60 cents. And going down rapidly. Okay. How do banks work? They work on what is called a margin. They really have no money. They have paper assets. They have assets which are called deposits. And the deposits are nothing more than bookkeeping entries based upon a check that someone puts in the bank or money from the Federal Reserve that they deposit in the bank. That's an asset. Now then, if they have $100,000 in assets and they have what is called a 10% margin, meaning that of that $100,000, they can turn around and loan out $90,000. Now then, they gain another asset because the loan that was signed by the person who borrowed the $90,000 also becomes an asset in the asset column because it is an account receivable, just to put it in simple terms. They can then take 90% of that $90,000 and loan it out again, and hence on $100,000 they can create, out of nothing, $1 million worth of deposit money, which is really not money. It's just manipulated within. Now, how do you get paid? Well, everybody gets a check, right? Or if you're on Social Security, it's deposited right into your bank account. Or if you're still one of the holdouts who receives a check, you receive a check. As long as there is confidence in the value of the fiat money that we have, the economy can go along. However, you take business, you take the nation, you take individuals, and the collective amount of debt that is owed is close to $50 trillion or more. And remember this, the borrower is the slave to the lender. We're living on borrowed time. Now, let's come here to page 145. Okay. 137, he shows the comparison. If at the time of Christ's birth, 3% compounded interest on the debt of $1, you would end up with 2, followed by 48 digits compounded interest. Versus simple interest, it would be $59 and $118 respectively. So I'll let you read it. You see bankers here, 137, just before PFA banking. You see, bankers are not loaning you money. Bankers are loaning you credit of the bank. That's what they're doing. PFA banking, plucked from air. That's right, plucked from air. I'll let you read it. Deposit insurance, already covered that. Come to page 144. What was once the greatest financial power in the world is now hinged on total economic collapse. Paralyzed by skyrocketing debt, the U.S. government is powerless to protect itself and its citizens from the threat of an impending fallout. Now we're going to see the whole world stuck with trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of American debt and American dollars, which has in effect been the world currency to date. Now, the euro is trying to make a struggle to get on top of it, but being overvalued, it isn't going to go anywhere at the present time. Paralyzed by skyrocketing debt, the U.S. government is paralyzed to protect itself and so forth. The lobbyists, special interest group, elected officials, and the New World Order operatives have slowed the engine of spending reform to almost a standstill. The government can't control its own spending in time to prevent a collapse because there is neither the will nor the courage to do what is necessary to change, and that is proved by the fact that they just voted to increase the debt limit by $100 billion at one fell swoop. If foreigners stop financing our budget and trade deficits, we have to raise interest rates to keep the dollar from collapsing. I believe the interest of the federal debt will soon exceed the annual personal income tax revenues. As a result, now, don't forget, it's not just government debt, it's all kinds of debt. All debt. Getting 50 to 60 trillion that is due. Now, when I say debt, that means someone, somewhere in the world is holding a mortgage that you signed. T-bills that the government has guaranteed. Municipal bonds that cities and state bonds have done. Business bonds, business stocks. It is all a paper house of cards. And just like the domino thing, remember they had a big deal, domino thing here recently, where it took them weeks and weeks to build this, and they had millions of dominoes, and they started it out, and it took an hour and a half to knock down the last domino. That's a good example of what's going to happen when it starts to collapse. If they stop financing the debts, raise the interest rate, as a result, an already devalued currency will lose more ground as the government will have to increase the money supply that is printing it to pay its bills. Perhaps the most devastating consequences of this economic disorder will be its effect on American citizens. The savings and investments of most Americans will be completely wiped out. Again, go study Argentina. When they defaulted on their debt, the international bankers came in and took deposits out of banks, pension funds, personal savings to pay the debt, and they were left penniless, without retirement, with about 25% unemployment, people having to move out of their homes and into abandoned factories to survive. And we will not be immune from that. The savings and investments of most Americans will be completely wiped out, leaving them penniless in what would be the worst financial crisis in history. Then he says, page 145, a world economic collapse is extremely likely in the next few years. And this is second printing, 2003. We are already 2 years away from it. Those unprepared may stand naked before a crisis unseen in the United States since the Civil War. Page 184. No, we won't go there yet. He talks about what is money. There's a section on money, and I'll just review it for you. Real money, as God created it to be, is gold. Remember when the Queen of Sheba came from the South? She didn't come with CDs and investment certificates. She came with gold and silver and frankincense, didn't she? Gold is the real key for money. Silver. Any metals. Jewelry. These dollars, you know, I remember when I could buy oral wheat berry bread for $1.69 a loaf. It is now $3.29 a loaf. Oh, but there's no inflation. Please understand, there's no inflation. See? Okay. Now, let's look at, there's some other warnings here. I mean, it's everywhere. If you have a computer, you go online, you'll find out. Okay? Now, here's one here talking about what the collapse of the dollar will mean to the world. This is taken from, this was sent to me, it doesn't say where it's from. Slavery of the Anglo-Saxon nations. Very interesting. Okay. There was one day in September this last year when at the Treasury auctions, none of the foreigners showed up to buy. And it literally scared them to death. Because if they don't buy, we're in deep trouble. See? Well, they were all happy because they came back the next Tuesday in force. So they thought of it as an aberration. I think it was a warning to them. that we all collectively decided not to show up just to teach you a lesson. What are you going to do if we stop coming? And remember, the lender owns the borrower, what he has. So they will come and collect. Now, would be a catastrophe, and it will be, and it's coming. Okay, let's look at the solution. When it happens, it's not going to be the end yet. That's our first step way down. Just like Argentina recovered, we'll recover. Now, I have a bold suggestion. The only thing that would work to stave it off for a while. Congress would have to pass a law that we revoke all of the gift of all of our aid to all nations, World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, and we will put this into our credit accounts. When you come and sell the bonds back to us, we will deduct 50% of the bonds that you give us off of what you owe us. Now, that'll never happen, okay? But that would be my solution. Because we've lent out what? Trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, right? It just gave it to them. You know, we weren't smart like Joseph. He said, bring in 20%, and then you can come and draw on it later. Oh, no, we said, oh, here, this is yours. Enemies must think, boy, are you stupid? Or what? Okay. So what happens when this takes place? There's going to be set in motion a recovery plan, which will be, I believe, the euro. Not the euro, the Amero, like the euro. Okay. The Amero will, first of all, combine Canadian dollar, U.S. dollar, and Mexican peso, plus half the nations in South America already have the dollar as their de facto currency. What they could do with that is this. We know that there is a crisis, and what we're going to do is this, since gold will be, and I've said $1,500 an ounce, we'll go ahead and we'll accept it at $1,500 an ounce. You can bring in your dollars, and we'll give you 7 cents on the dollar for it, and you can have these new Ameros. At least you get something back. Okay. That's what I think will happen. Now, what is the final thing in all of this? Now, at the same time, let me just add this. You have the euro, then you have the Amero, you probably have the Afro, you probably have the Arabo, which will be the dinara that the Arabs have, and then you will have an Eastern currency. That's the last step to the mark of the beast. The ultimate in this is to enforce the mark of the beast. All currency will then disappear. Now, for the time being, he suggests that you get some gold and some silver if you can. Now, if you can't, then get out of as much debt as you can. If you have an adjustable rate mortgage, get a fixed mortgage. Because if they inflate it, then you should be able to meet the payments. Whereas, what are you going to do if a little clause you didn't read in your contract says that this rate can be adjusted from 3% to 18%? And now what is that going to do for your payment? It's going to increase it by 6 times, right? Yes, indeed. Now, if you have some real currency on hand, that is gold and silver, after the collapse is over, you will have the means to buy for pennies on the dollar what other people have lost. So that will happen. Now then, one other thing you need to remember. The children of this world have greater understanding of monetary things, the unrighteous mammon, than those who are the children of light. Now, God will protect us. God will watch over us, even though we may have to suffer. We need to understand that. Now, we need to be prudent, but our faith must be in God, totally in everything that we do. God knows this is coming. He prophesied that it would happen. We have read it how many times that it is going to happen. So when it does come, you're going to have some level of preparation so that you won't be totally, absolutely wiped out. Now, I believe this. The first round of this happening, after they reevaluate it, the first thing they're going to do is to help those who are on Social Security to help them to survive. It's one of the first things that they will do. Because we have a lot of seniors in the church, a lot of you only have Social Security, and I hope and pray that that will be the case. But whatever you can do to help cushion what is happening, by all means do so. And since gold is now very expensive, well, it's really not expensive compared to what it's going to be, you might try buying some silver numismatic coins. Now, don't look to me to tell you how to do it and where to do it. I'm not a financial advisor. I don't sell gold and silver. But I'm telling you that it would be wise for you to heed the warning. For you to do whatever you can. Sit down and think about, what can I do? Be honest with yourself. Look at all your debts and ask yourself the question, what can I pay off first? Now, obviously, if you owe a lot on your house, you can't pay that off all at once. It's obvious. Make sure then you have a loan with the lowest interest fixed rate possible so you can survive. Okay? Take care of all the credit card debt that you have. Clean it up. Get rid of it. And if you're locked into a credit card thing that the only thing you can do is meet the minimum payment, you are a total slave to the system. And how many people are there out in the world that are doing that? Millions and millions and millions and millions of people, you see. They will end up losing their homes, losing their cars, losing their jobs, losing everything that they have, losing all the possessions that they have, because, you know, it's just like when I talked about that man who says he's in debt up to his eyeballs. See? And I hope most of the brethren in the church are not. Now, how much time do we have left before the collapse comes? Now, the collapse, when it comes, will not be the end. That will just be a giant step down. We'll bounce back, we'll recover somewhat, but we will never, never, never be the same that we were before as a nation. So the only thing you can do is take care of what you can. And then you can read there in Matthew 6. Do not give anxious thought about the physical things, what you'll eat, what you'll wear, the clothes, and, you know, things like this. God takes care of even the animals and the birds. He'll take care of you. But you have to have faith and trust in God. Get your house in order. Take care of it the best you can. And do the best that you can to get out from underneath as much debt as you can. Now, what will happen is this. That will help cushion the blow when it comes. Well, I'm about out of tape.